It is an exciting time because God is just revealing himself in a new way. He is revealing himself in a special way amongst us, and we are moving from one level to another level. We are moving from one level of glory to another level of glory, and the Lord is doing it for his glory. And as we follow and as we walk together with him, every door will open. You just keep walking, you get to a wall and you think, what's going to happen here? And then suddenly the wall will give way to you. The wall will give way to you. The wall is going to give way to you in the name of Jesus, because the Lord is upon your life. The Lord is on your life. God is for you and God is not against you in the name of Jesus. And we just want to thank God. I think last Sunday we had a good time. We had a good time when we were just sharing the vision, helping us to know that, yes, we are a people that God is revealing his glory, is revealing himself, not only for our own good, but even for the good of the people around us, for the good of the neighbors, for the good of the community in the name of Jesus. And so we just want to continue today building on the vision that God has given us, because our vision is to reveal the simplicity and the power of the gospel truth for our daily use. Amen. We are not here because we are just marking our presence, and the rest of the week it is a different story. But I believe that what you get today, you are going to apply it whilst you're seated there, when you leave this place and throughout the week, because that is the word of God. The Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And I really like the Amplified Version. It says, that's John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the word became flesh and came into the neighborhood. Hallelujah. The word came into the neighborhood. The word came into the neighborhood. And so that's the simplicity and that's the power that we want to see. And today I've got a key verse because I'm starting a series on prayer. Amen. Because I know some of you have got prayers that you feel, this has been a standing prayer for so long. Lord, when are you going to come through for me? And I'm sure as we go through this series on prayer, it is not only going to enlighten us, give us a better understanding on how to pray and what prayer is all about, but all the prayers that we've prayed, the answers will begin to manifest. The answers will begin to manifest. And so the verse, the vision verse that I have here is that John chapter 4, verse 3. It says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. And the King James actually, it says, you ask and you receive not. Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered, why does God say, ask and you'll be given? Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And yet James is telling us that you ask and you do not receive. Is there a contradiction? What is going on here? Of course, he gives us an answer. He says, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And now I know the common understanding of this scripture, because what is to ask amiss? To ask amiss is to pray wrong. When you pray wrong, you're asking amiss. And the obvious answer that we know from even from our growing up, from our, if I may say, religious background, is that when you are asking for selfish motives, you're asking amiss. But is that really true? Because God wants to bless us. Amen. When you are believing Abraham's blessing, are you being selfish? No, because it is in blessing you that you become a blessing to others. So there's some truth to it, but it's not entirely true. But I want to give you two obvious and uncommon reasons for asking amiss. Wrong asking, wrong praying, and we are going to be unpacking it as we go on. The first one is, we ask amiss if we are ignorant of the true nature of God. Did you know that you can only relate with me to the extent that you know me? If you have known me for 1 week, you will not be as open because you don't quite know me. Even your jokes will be limited. your smile will be limited. But when you know me for 2 years, when you know me for 10 years, when you know me for 20 years, you'll be warm up and you become more open and you can even become more aggressive in your talking. Why? Because you know me, you know what I like, you know what I don't like, and you know how to relate with me and so on and so on. And many people are just going to God. They don't know God.
Amen.
And because they don't know God, they don't even know how to relate with Him. They don't even know how to ask Him. So it's very critical for us in our prayer life that we be able to know the true nature of God. Because it's a pity to get to heaven only to find that your God was a very generous God. But it'll be too late. There's a scripture in Revelations, it says, you know, you'll be wiping away our tears.
Yeah.
Why would one be crying when you're in heaven? I believe you'll be crying when you're in heaven, because when you're in heaven, you suddenly begin to see missed opportunities. The things that you could have done here on earth, but you realize that I couldn't because I just was not diligent. I just was not forceful. I was not aggressive. And you begin to cry, but Jesus will be saying, don't worry.
Yeah.
At least you're in heaven. Hallelujah. There are things that God has prepared for us, but we can only get to know them and really go for them aggressively when we know the true nature of God. Of course, the other reason is that we don't know what He has already done for us.
Yeah.
If you know what God has already done, your praying will be different.
Amen.
But if you don't know, your praying will also be different.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when you know what God has already done for you, your praying will switch from asking, begging, lamenting, to thanksgiving and praising and worshiping God.
Amen.
With an expectation that he is faithful. He who has begun a good work in me, He is faithful to finish it.
Amen.
The other reason why we ask amiss or how we ask amiss is we approach God on our terms,
yeah,
instead of approaching God on His terms.
Yeah.
It's like we want God to do it our way.
Yeah.
We don't bother to figure out what is God's way, because when we do it His way, things will work out. That's why when He says, ask and it shall be given unto you, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. How? When you do it His way and not our way. When you do it His way, not your church's way. Hallelujah. When you do it His way and not based on your experience. Amen. So what are we saying? There are some questions here. Some of you say, I've prayed for a very long time and I've even fasted, but I don't see things happening. You may say, why do I continue to experience defeat? But I can tell you that as you keep coming here, that's the end of your defeat.
Amen.
In that I can assure you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because the word works. Some of you may say, why am I not getting the results I expect? Because for sure we are all expecting results.
Amen.
In our prayer. We are also expecting results in our walk with God. And the Bible, just for information about this selfish thing, yes, we can be selfish in our motive and in our attitude, but believing God for good for yourself is not being selfish. Because it is profitable to serve the Lord.
Amen.
There is profit to it.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
So you may be asking, is there a better way to pray? Yes, there is a better way to pray. And I'm going to start a series on a better way to pray.
Amen.
I'm saying it's not the only way to pray. I'm saying it is a better way to pray.
Amen.
If the way you are praying is working, fine, keep going. Hallelujah. But if it's not working, you may consider to switch to a better way to pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And we are going to start today, part one. It is in the Spirit. It is in the Spirit. What is in the Spirit? Your answers are in the Spirit. And we are going to unpack this, and it is going to be very beautiful. And I'm just so excited, because when I was looking at this, in fact, we had in our seminars we had on Saturday some time ago, we looked at this in very broad terms. But I came up with some 20 reasons or 20 things that make people's prayers not work. and I call them religious trappings. It's almost like a setup, and if you are not careful, you can be caught in the net of religion, and your prayer will not be effective. And I can say with confidence that a lot of our prayers are not working because we are caught up in religious traps. And I've come up with 6 or 7 of them that will kind of cover pretty much all. And I'm sure that if any of these is what you've been thinking or what you are basing your prayer on, that's why it is not going through. Amen. The first trapping is, it is all up to God. You never know. And you say, God is in control. That is a trap. I'm not going to explain all of them now, because that's what we're going to do. Otherwise, I'll be stuck with the first one. But that's not really what I'm... All I'm trying to do is to provoke you, to help you, that if you are looking at these and saying, it's all up to God, you never know. It's almost like your prayer, you just throw it in the air. And you just say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. You can figure out which one you like, because you're in control. That is missing it. Because Jesus came that you know. Did you know that? He came that we know what we didn't know. And it's not all up to God. You remember our key scripture, you're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. It's not all up to God. If you don't do anything about what God has provided, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. It's not all up to God. Number two religious tripping is, God won't hear you because you have sin in your life. And I know many Christians are camped on that one.
Amen.
I'm going to say, I think there's sin in my life. That's why God is not answering my prayer.
Yeah.
Yes, and the devil will begin to remind you what you did even this morning. I'm going to say, that's why God is, you know, that's why things are not happening. No, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
The devil is a liar. Why? Because what did Jesus do? He became sin. He who knew no sin. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he was the propitiation, not only of our sins, but of the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. If God was not answering our prayers because of sin in our lives, who does not have sin in their life? Everybody has got sin. Because sin is not what we do wrong. Sin is also the right that we don't do, we are supposed to do. It's not only commission, it's also omission.
Amen.
A lot of people, we sin by omitting what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Did you know that it was good to greet your neighbors this morning? But you didn't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When some of you, when you're driving, it was good to give somebody a lift, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says in James, if you know the good that you're supposed to do and you don't do it, to you, it is sin.
Yeah.
So nobody can come clean or not having sin in their lives. So it is the devil who is making you suffer,
yeah,
because of your ignorance of what Jesus did for us at the cross of Calvary. And it becomes a trapping, and he will make your prayer weak. So instead of believing God and proclaiming the good that God has done for you, guess what now? Your entire prayer is just apologizing.
Hey.
Your whole prayer. And some of you, you need to listen to your prayers.
Mm.
Do you listen to your prayers? Half of it is just apologizing. Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm miserable. Lord, I'm all this, I'm all that. Number three, religious trapping. Modeling your prayer after Old Testament models. That is a religious trap. And they will tell you that, you know, we need to pray and fire comes down. Because Elijah prayed and fire came down. They don't even know the context of that. Amen.
Amen.
If you are, some of you, how, when you pray, how do you model your prayer? You model your prayer according to some of his Old Testament saints. Praise God, they are saints.
Mm-hmm.
But does this prayer apply to you? Because you are in a different covenant. When in fact Jesus is our model. If you pray the way Jesus prayed, I tell you, answers your prayers will be answered very quickly. Because he said to the storm, be still. And it was still.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lazarus, rise up.
Yes.
And he rose from the dead.
Amen.
That's the New Testament prayer. That's the kind of prayer that we need to be praying. Yes. But for you to have the confidence of that, you need to come out of these religious trappings, which we are talking about. We'll be unpacking all this thing. Number four, religious trapping. You need to show desperation for God to have mercy on you. You need to beg, you need to crawl, you need to cry, you need to lament. And you know, I was just listening to Rainbow FM, and I was surprised that, you know, there were some people were talking about wailing, that, you know, you need to come and wail for 7 hours, hallelujah, for your prayers to go through. I don't know. The mercies of God were poured upon our lives because of Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have to beg. You don't have to beg at all. But we'll unfold that. Number five, religious trapping. Your problems need spiritual warfare. Have you heard about this one?
Yes.
I say, oh man, this one, I think we need to go on a 40-day fast. Because if we don't go on a 40-day fast, my friend, you are ashes. Why? Do you know the problem? The problem is, these people are magnifying the power of the devil.
Yeah.
They think the devil is so powerful, the devil is so strong, and you really, really need to get into heavy-duty gear. But my Bible tells me that he was defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was defeated and he was disarmed.
Yes.
So why would we be so vicious towards an enemy that has been defeated? And there's no arms. Ignorance. Religious trapping. Number six, religious trapping. Prayer doesn't work for everybody. Say, you know, I've been praying for 2 years. You know, I've been seeking the Lord. I said, my brother, prayer doesn't work for everybody. Maybe yours is one of those that doesn't work. Just let go of this thing. That's a trapping. And number seven. You haven't prayed long enough, and you haven't prayed hard enough. And how do you pray long enough? You need to go on a 40-day fast. You even need to go to the prayer mountain. Hallelujah. Because maybe when you increase your altitude, you are closer to heaven, and God will hear you fast. The devil is a liar. It's not about long praying, is not about hard praying. But I believe these are some of the reasons, not all, but these are some of the reasons why people are praying so much and there's so little result.
Amen.
I'm sure if you want to be honest with yourself, if you look at your prayer life, the amount of effort you put in the prayer and the output, the results that you are getting from that, they don't match.
Amen.
I'm sure Doc will tell me that if it's an engine, you tell me that the efficiency is very low. Amen. Because what you put in and what you get out,
yeah,
there should be some, at least because there's wear and tear, at least there should be some 80-90% efficiency.
Yeah.
But if you are down to 30 and some are even down to 10%, really you need to fix the engine because something is wrong. And we are here to fix the engine in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And did you know that? This is something which you probably didn't know. Did you know that Jesus, remember the disciple says, teach us to pray,
yeah,
even as John taught his disciples to pray.
Yeah.
And when Jesus began to teach his disciples, he first taught them how not to pray. He didn't start by saying, when you're praying, do this. No, he's saying, when you're praying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Why? Because there are a lot of religious trappings. If you don't get out of this cobweb, even the beautiful things that you have, you'll not be able to run with. Why? Because you're still trapped. You're still wrapped up. And so, let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 6. And he said, when you pray, In fact, in this is the Sermon on the Mount. He started by telling us, when you give, you need to do this. Let not your left hand show and the right hand know what the left hand has given, and so on and so forth. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, when you pray. And then in verse 17, he says, when you give. When you fast. In other words, giving, praying, fasting is something that we need to continue to do. But we need to know how to do it and how not to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. So he says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Amen. Now, the one thing that maybe many of us here have missed is that hypocrites love to pray. Hypocrites love to pray.
Amen.
Not everybody who is praying is praying. Hypocrites love to pray.
Amen.
Hypocrites love to pray.
Amen.
Because then they would be standing in the synagogue and the corners so that can be heard. But today, because we don't see you praying there, we may think you are begging at the traffic lights. But what do? You come and tell us what you've been doing. When in fact the Bible says you have to be in your inner closet where nobody knows. Why are you telling us now when you have done it in secret? Because hypocrites love to pray. If I'm boasting about my praying, I am a hypocrite. Because God sees in secret. Hallelujah. But he answers in public. So the fact that somebody is talking about prayer, let's pray, let's do, it doesn't mean that they're praying. They could be hypocritical. And a lot of people, I might say, they pray in order to just tick the box. At least I've prayed about it. I can't help it. They let go. I'm sure you've come across such people. So Jesus is saying, don't be like hypocrites because they love to pray. Let's go on to verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard of their words, of their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. And he goes on to say, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. That's interesting. God knows what you need before you ask him. So why do you talk to him like he doesn't know? Are we together?
Amen.
But let's just zero in on this one. Do not use vain repetition. What does this mean? Vain repetition, it means when you are repeating yourself, right? So, somebody might be saying, well, that's religious. But if you come to God today and say, Lord, I want a job. And within 2 minutes, Lord, I want a job. Tomorrow you come to God, Lord, I want a job. Are you not repeating yourself? No, I'm just asking. Are you not repeating yourself? Vain repetitions. Because remember, your Father knows what you need.
Amen.
And so if you tell him that, Lord, I need a job, and you believe that he's a faithful God, the next time, are you going to say, Lord, I need a job? You know, Lord, I thank you for the job.
Amen.
You take a step further. Lord, I thank you for the job. And you begin now to throw your CVs out there. If you have to visit from one industry to another, why? Because there is a job. I'm looking for it. It is somewhere here. Because God has given me a job. He is faithful. He is not man that he should lie. And what he has said he is going to do. And so I know he has given me a job. So there is a job for me.
Amen.
But many of us, we are stuck with repetition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like this one. For they think they will be heard for their many words. You are not going to be heard because you are saying many words. You are not going to be heard because you are using more volume even in your words. You are not going to be heard because you are being forceful about it. Amen. Did you know that actually people in authority, it's interesting, people in authority, they don't shout. They can even whisper, but you have to catch it, because the words have got power in themselves. The words have got authority in themselves in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So what are we saying? Many words have no virtue. There is no value in having many words. What does many words mean? Long prayers. God does not hear you because you've prayed all night. I know some of you are kind of destroying your foundation, eh? Maybe they're religious topics. In fact, if you say amen throughout here, it's either you've not been very faithful to your religion, or you are free indeed. Amen. You see, because long prayers are many words. Does it mean we should not pray long prayers? We need to pray long prayers because it's good discipline. But in our long prayers, we need to know what we are praying. We should not be repeating ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
And our words should not be vain babbling. It should not be just words which are meaningless, words which are pointless, and words which we are, well, this is what we have to do because this is what I've been taught in church. No. Long prayers have no virtue. It's not about the number of words. Amen. So how does God answer our prayer? And again, I'll give you what religion has been teaching us. I'm sure you know this one. God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. Do you know why we love that answer? We love that answer because it protects God. If it never happens, then you only say, maybe God said no. Maybe this was not meant for me. And some of you will get into the parking mode. I'm still waiting for the Lord. You know, Abraham waited for how many years? 25 years for Isaac to come. I know my Isaac is coming. No. Abraham did not wait for 25 years. He was doing his own thing. That's why Ishmael is there. That was not waiting on God. Hallelujah. Just by the way, a little theology for you there. So what are we saying? Let's look at Daniel. Daniel is one of the Old Testament characters that many of you use, because Daniel prayed for 21 days, isn't it?
Amen.
And some of you, maybe tomorrow you want to get onto your 21-day fast, because Daniel prayed for 21 days. Go ahead with your 21-day fast, but today you will have a better understanding of what that is all about.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. I'm going to use the book Daniel because Daniel prayed two prayers in chapter 9 and in chapter 10. So it's one person, and if your first prayer was answered, then your second prayer should be even answered more, because you've got more faith and you've got expectation for God. Are we together? If there were two different people, we'd be saying, maybe this one is more spiritual than that. It's the same guy. And what did we do? In the first prayer in Daniel chapter 9, he started praying because the Bible actually says he understood by scriptures that the 70 years of captivity were coming to an end.
Yes.
And he started praying so that the purposes of God will come through.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he started repenting and so on and so on and so forth. And then we pick it up when in verse 21, then the angel came with the answer. And he says, Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision of at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me, I like that, and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I've now come forth to give you skill to understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." Daniel was still praying, and the angel came with the answer.
Amen.
And that's what we love, isn't it? Before you even say amen. Even the Bible says, before you say amen, I'll answer. And we love this. And if you look at the prayer, it probably takes just about 3 minutes or so. And the answer came. And Daniel was excited. And then we move on to Daniel chapter 10. When we move on to Daniel chapter 10, which is the second prayer now, this is when he fasted and prayed for 21 days.
Amen.
The first one in Daniel chapter 9, whilst he was praying, boom, the answer came. In Daniel chapter 10, he prayed, he get into fasting and so on and so on. And then the angel came. And when he came, he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel." That's from verse 12 now, verse 12 and 13. "For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, here is the question. How long did it take for God to answer Daniel in chapter 10? How long did it take him? From the first day that you set your heart to understand,
yes,
and to humble yourself, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words.
Yes.
Daniel's first prayer was answered immediately.
Yes. Yes.
Daniel's second prayer was answered immediately,
yes,
before he even fasted.
Yes. That's true.
Are we together?
Amen.
What delayed the answer was not God.
Yes.
What delayed the answer was the prince of Persia, not God.
Amen.
But how many people go on a 21-day fast because they want God to hear their prayer?
Hallelujah.
It's very heavy to be religious because you sweat it out. Until you come out with nothing. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Here are some truths that will set us free and revive our prayer life. You see, because we need to know the nature of God, we need to understand that God is not the one who is delaying the answers. God is not the one who is withholding answers for some other reason. No. Truth number one, Daniel's fasting did not motivate God to answer his prayer. Are we together?
Amen. That's true.
So your prayer, your fasting is not going to motivate God either.
Mm.
Because from the day you asked, from the day you prayed, from the day you cried to God, God sent the answer.
Amen.
God is not motivated by our fasting. No. God is motivated by Jesus. Jesus motivated God enough to release everything to us. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 32 tells us, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him, what else will he withhold from us?" In other words, he will freely give us everything that we need. Why? Because of Jesus and not because of our fasting.
Amen.
Not because of our praying either. Not because of our goodness either. But because of the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says when we approach God, Hebrews chapter 4, 16, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Hallelujah. With boldness. And your boldness comes from knowing that it is already done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your fasting does not motivate God. Why? Because from the first day. In other words, if you decide today and say, Lord, from tomorrow, I want to fast. Because of whatever reason. When you say it today, that's when God is answering you today.
Amen.
Not tomorrow when you start fasting. There and then now.
Yeah.
Because faith is, Hebrews 11 verse 1, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which means faith is in the present.
Amen.
Faith is not in the future. If you are exercising faith in your life, you don't say tomorrow I'll be healed.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's hope. That's hope.
Yes.
If you want to exercise faith, you receive what you want
now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So receive what you want right now. Now. Receive it now. Then there might be time for it to manifest for whatever other reasons, but you receive it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Number two, God answers prayers immediately. And when he answers prayer, it is in the spirit. Why is it in the spirit? Because God is spirit. And when God speaks, he speaks spirit. But it is now for us to download from the spirit realm into the physical realm. And that's where you need your faith. The problem is not God keeping things away from you. The problem is not God withholding things from us. The problem is we either don't know that we already have it in the spirit, or we don't know how to exercise faith in order to receive it. And that's what we need to be doing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Number three truth is, God is not the only actor in the field of prayer. Because many Christians, they think if things are not working, then God is involved in that. But Daniel tells us, he shows us there, God released the answer. Because when you are on this stage of prayer, God is there, literally speaking, but God is inside you. Amen.
Amen.
So don't begin to say, but Pastor, what are you saying now? For illustration, God is there, and you are here. And if in your life you're just seeing God and yourself, and things are not happening, you think there's something wrong with what I'm doing, which makes God angry with me, and God is not releasing what he's supposed to release. But what you need is to open your eyes and so see that there is also the Prince of Persia there. The first time when Daniel prayed in chapter 9, I believe that the devil did not know that Daniel is actually a deadly person. His prayers are very effective.
Yeah.
So there was no, you know, God checking out on him. So the first time it just went boom. But the next time now the devil said, oh, that guy, you need to watch out.
Yeah.
Mark him very closely.
Yeah.
So the next time he's praying now, guess what? The devil comes and he tries to hold, you know, to stop that thing.
Yeah.
And that's why it took a bit long time.
Yeah.
So you need to know that there's a Prince of Persia who doesn't want to see your blessing. Who doesn't
Amen.
Want to see your breakthrough? Who doesn't
Amen.
Want to see your prosperity? Who doesn't
Amen.
Want to see your good health coming through?
Yes.
And he is there. But you need to know that he is there.
Amen.
I'll talk about him as we close. It's also important to know that your delays, most of them, not all of them, they are connected to the Prince of Persia. They are connected to the Prince of Persia. And somebody will begin to say, so who is this Prince of Persia? The Prince of Persia that Daniel was fighting with is different, or he shows himself differently from the Prince of Persia that we fight today. We need to understand why. Because remember, Satan was defeated.
Yes.
And also remember, did you know that in the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, I think there are only 12 references of Satan. The entire Old Testament. And I think 9 of them, they are in the book of Job. Hallelujah. Amen. So effectively, it's just one. So there are only two or three references of Satan. But if you go into the New Testament, almost every chapter is talking about Satan, he's talking about this, he's talking about why. The thing is, in the Old Testament saints did not have the authority to deal with Satan.
Amen.
So God did not have to reveal Satan to them because they would only be afraid and could not do anything about it. But we now have the authority. We now have the power over Satan. And so he's now coming up because we can deal with him and we can thrash him and we can knock him every time he rises up.
Amen.
So the way we deal with the Prince of Persia today is different from the way they dealt with the Prince of Persia in the Old Covenant. But the Prince of Persia is just another topic on itself. So I will leave it maybe for next time in Jesus' name. You need to know who is the Prince of Persia and you need to know how to fight him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For one thing, we don't fight flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So people are not the Prince of Persia. He may come through them, but people are not the Prince of Persia.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Number three truth that will set us free and revive our prayer life is ignorance of the spirit realm. It kills you and it kills your prayers. Many Christians, we only think that life is about what we see with our eyes and what we experience in this world and maybe in our minds, and that's all. In other words, the body and the soul, the subconscious. That's all we limited. But you need to know as a child of God that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So there is the spirit realm where things are happening. And it is in the spirit realm where reality is. It only filters and manifests in the physical. And why do I say it kills? Because Romans chapter 8 verse 6 tells us, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is peace and life.
Hallelujah.
You see, to be carnally minded, do you know that this word carnal, in the religious sense, when somebody says you are carnal, they are saying you have committed a sin, isn't it? Because they associate carnality with sin. To be carnal is not only to be sinful, to be living in sin. No. To be carnal, it also means to be controlled of the five senses, to be just physical. It doesn't have to be sin. Something that is so natural, something that you can see, that you can hear, you can smell, you can feel, you can taste. It can be carnal because if you keep your understanding at that level, you will now believe that life should happen at that level.
Amen.
But God is spirit. And everything that is spiritual now, you fight it. Because you say, it doesn't make sense. And some of you are too educated for God. I tell you. You are too educated for God. Because when everything is said, you begin to say, what did my physics teacher say? Why did my biology teacher say? But God, he created all that thing, and God is above all. Because he is God. If your life is revolving around your five senses, you are dead. Hallelujah. And so your prayer life is also dead. Because you go to work tomorrow, your employer will tell you that this is your last week. You are fired. And if you process it now using your five senses, you may go down and pray, but in your mind, you really say, I'm in trouble. Yeah. You start panicking, you start worrying. Why? Because you are processing life based on your five senses. Yeah. But if you know that God is your provider, God is your source, it doesn't matter what the employer is going to say, it doesn't matter what even your lecturer is going to say, it doesn't matter whoever is going to say, it doesn't matter even what your pastor is going to say.
Amen.
What counts is that if God is for me, who can be against me?
Hallelujah.
Those who are for me are more than those who are against me.
Yeah. Yes.
So why should I worry?
Yeah.
God is on my side.
Amen.
And you are at that level. Guess what? There's going to be peace.
Yes.
And there's going to be
life.
Life.
Hallelujah.
Conversely, if we look at it differently, If you are not experiencing peace in your life right now, it's because your mind is functioning at the level of the five senses. It doesn't matter how much you pray for peace, because it is a mind thing. If your mind is processing everything based on what you see, based on what you feel, based on what you smell, based on what you taste, and based on what you have heard, guess what? You will not have the peace. But the peace of God comes in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are we saying? We are saying that your prayer is as good as your prayer foundation. This is where I'm going to shake some of you. But praise God, there's a more solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Because the way I pray, it depends on my foundation on prayer. In other words, how, where my prayer is sitting, where my prayer is founded on, where my prayer is based on. Because if it is based on my goodness, it's shaky foundation. Because on the day that I'm not good, what's going to happen? And here is one scripture which many of us may not have heard. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. When God speaks of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete or out of use or annulled and growing old is ready to disappear. Do you know what this means? The word obsolete is a big word, but it simply means out of date. It means superseded. It means no longer relevant. It means unprofitable. In other words, when God is talking of a new covenant, it means the old covenant is out of date. It is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It is useless. Are we together? Now, if your prayer now is based on the old covenant, which is out of date, which is useless and unprofitable, guess what your prayer is going to be?
Useless.
Out of date,
yeah.
Useless, irrelevant, and unprofitable. Wait a minute. Now you can see why some of your prayers are just merry-go-round. Why? Because if you use, students, you know it very well. If your teacher tells you that from next term, we are changing the syllabus. If you continue with the old syllabus, because you bought all these expensive books and you study, guess what? You will fail the exam. Not because your answers are wrong, but simply because you were working with the wrong syllabus. There is a new syllabus.
Yeah.
It's called New Covenant. And the old syllabus is gone.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you keep on studying, you may spend the whole night studying and memorizing equations and whatever and so on and so forth, but come to the exam day, which is your answer to prayer. Or just say, no. Oh, this one is irrelevant. Why? Because it is ready to disappear. It has grown old in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? If your prayer life is based on the old covenant, it is cracked. It is defective. Even if your understanding of God is based on the Old Testament, it is cracked, it is defective, and it is irrelevant. So my question to you is your prayer life based on the new covenant? Would you be able to pray for 5 minutes and not make reference to the old covenant? Some of us say, well, Lord, as you were with Moses, I know you're going to be with me. Yes, that's fine. But do you know that if you say, Moses, if God, if you were, as you were with Peter, you're going to be with me, it's a higher level.
Yeah.
Because Moses was operating at a lower level of God's glory.
Yeah.
Peter was operating at a higher level of God's glory. So you are comparing yourself with the absolute minimum and not the best of God.
Hallelujah.
Are we together?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you not glad that it's not me who wrote the Bible? I didn't write the Bible. Tabani, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it. Because if it's obsolete, it's out of date. It is unprofitable. It's no longer relevant. So if my prayer is based on something that is out of date, before I even say amen, it's not going very far. Now think of people that declare 40 days of prayer and fasting and they are off target. And you follow them. But you see, because God is a merciful God, there is some glory that is in the old covenant. That's why things still happen. But if you are doing it from the new covenant, it will be glorious. It will be awesome. It will be multiplied and it will be effortless.
Hallelujah.
It gets worse, actually. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former covenant because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nobody perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The former covenant, it was cancelled. It was dissolved. Oh yes, it's in the Bible. You can open your Bibles. Hallelujah. It is in the Bible. You see, so what's happening is that he's saying, on the one hand, on this side, this one is being cancelled because it is weak and it's unprofitable. But on the other side now, there is coming something that has got a better hope through which we can draw near to God. That's your prayer now.
You don't
draw near to God using the former commandment because the law made nothing perfect. You draw near to God through the better hope, the better covenant, the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are we saying? The old covenant was weak and unprofitable.
Yes.
It made no one perfect. So why would you think that your prayer is going to be perfect, is going to be strong, is going to be profitable when it is based on something that is weak and unprofitable? Now you can see how much we are entangled in religion. In fact, you'll be so blessed when we'll be looking at some of the prayers that people prayed, you know, in the old covenant. You'll be blessed. I mean, we can talk about intercession. In fact, we'll cover this before the end of November, because we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting as a church. But you'll be praying with understanding.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll be praying knowing exactly, without religious entanglement, but you'll be on point. Not many words. Hallelujah. Amen. Not many words, but we'll be on point because we are not going via the unprofitable and weak route. We are going via the better hope. What you need is hope. What you need is encouragement.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, results, they are weak. Results, they are unprofitable. This could be one of the reasons why your prayers have not been as effective. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know. But all I know is that anything based on the old covenant is weak and unprofitable. That's my conclusion. And some of you are saying, so how do we pray? Faith is the only currency in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
It's only by faith.
Yeah. Amen.
And just to help us, some of you say, oh yes, faith, I knew it, but only my faith is so little, my faith is so small, I just need my faith to be strong. No. You have the same faith that Jesus has.
Amen.
Because there's only one faith. The problem is not your little faith. The problem is the too much unbelief. The problem is the too much things that we have been using and mixing faith with, and they don't mix. And then faith just steps aside. You say, okay, let's watch what you're going to do. Remember, those who were with us a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Ishmael and Isaac. Remember that Ishmael is 14 years older than Isaac. So Isaac is not going to wrestle with Ishmael and overpower Ishmael. No, Isaac will just step aside. Until you kick out Ishmael. When you get Ishmael out of the way, then Isaac gets excited. Isaac begins to grow. And guess what now? That's your prayer answers. In Jesus' name. Mark chapter 11. We're just about to conclude now. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. This is the story when Jesus cursed the fig tree because it was deceiving him. It looked like it was going to have figs, big leaves, but no fruit. Just say, by the way, God created us to be fruitful.
Amen.
He hates unfruitfulness. Amen. So Jesus answered to them, because they were excited, and Peter said, Master, the tree that you cursed, it has died from its roots. It was not like, you know, Master, the tree you have cursed. No, he was surprised. It was shock to him. And then Jesus goes on to say, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, but believes that those things he says will be done, you will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. It's a loaded passage, but I just want to point out some things here that says, if you are using the faith of God, you can move mountains. Mountain is a picture of something that is big, something that is impossible. It's a figurative language to show you that even the impossible thing, if you speak to it in faith, it will move. You can bring in all your Prince of Persia's there. That's the mountain, eh? You speak to the Prince of Persia. Daniel could not speak to the Prince of Persia. Why? Because he didn't have authority. You now have authority in Jesus. You don't call for God to come and remove the mountain. Are we together?
Amen.
That's another entanglement, eh? I will just pray to God and he'll come and do it. No. James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
Many of us, we are submitting to God, and then we call God to come and resist the devil for us.
Okay.
He is not coming to do that for you.
Yeah.
Amen. You have got the authority to resist the devil. You have the authority to tell the mountain in your life to move.
Amen.
And it will move in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May I suggest to you, look at your prayer requests. And some of them, they are just mountains. You need to speak to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to go on a fast. Amen.
Amen.
You just take your position and you say, you devil, this is the last I see of you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's prayer enough. And it goes. It will try to come back. You still need the same thing. You devil, I told you, don't come here. I resist you in Jesus' name. And he will flee from you.
Amen.
Here is something also that is very interesting from this. I've underlined these words. Whosoever says those things he says, whatever you say, whatever thing you ask, do you know what? You get what you say, not what you pray. Because it's very easy to pray for 30 minutes. You'll be saying, you'll be praying the right language. You'll be praying the right things. But what about the 23 hours and 30 minutes of the day? What are you saying? You get what you say, not what you pray.
Amen.
Because what you say is what is in your heart. What you pray, that's just religion. Until what you say agrees with what you pray, and what you pray agrees with what you say, you will never get what you pray. You always get what you say.
Amen.
For example, we're praying for the students right now. They are writing in the exams, and they'll be writing exams. And then teacher says, amen, pastor, amen, amen. Walks out there, then we're in the car park. So because they're in the habit of fellowship, after church. And we can say, pastor, you know, I don't think I'll make it. this mechanics thing, I don't think I'll make it. You are praying one thing and you're saying another thing. Guess what? What you are saying is going to happen. Why? Because you say it, you believe it, you walk it, you dream it, you talk it, and you even see it. But what you pray, you don't see it. Why? Because you are carnally minded.
Amen.
There you go. Amen. There you go. But here, the thing is that those things he says will be done. He will have whatsoever he says. In other words, let me put it this way. And does not doubt, but believes that those things he says will be done. In other words, you need to believe that the things you are saying will be done. But if you are saying them, but you don't believe them, it's not going to happen. Are we together, friends? So that's why we say, hypocrites love to pray. Do you believe that what you are saying in your prayer is going to happen? Do you really believe? Because if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen.
Prayer is not some magic thing that will make impossible things become possible. Prayer is just as effective as your faith in God. That's why if you believe, you don't have to spend hours praying. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's it. Then you do what healed people do. Amen. Amen. Because some of you say, Lord, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus, but I just need to take a rest. Then you go into blankets. People who go into blankets are people who are sick. If you believe that you are healed, guess what? You get out of the blankets and you begin to do what healed people do. That is faith with works. If you believe that you got a job, do you know what you're going to do now? You don't sleep until 11 o'clock. Because people who work, they don't sleep until 11 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, they're up because 8 o'clock, they're ready. You wake up, you take your shower, and you dress up, and you're ready to go to work. Every day, before you see the job coming. Why? Because you believe you've got a job. You believe it is yours, and you need to walk the talk in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But hypocrites, they'll be rolling in bed. Father, I'm believing you for a job. Lord, I'm believing you for a breakthrough. I know it's going to come in. It is mine in Jesus' name. And you're just rolling in there. You're rolling in bed. And you're rolling in bed. And you're rolling in bed. You're rolling in. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because faith without works is
dead.
I'll close with this. We need to take responsibility.
There are two prayers that God will not answer. What? But God answers it. Yes, there are two. He can answer, but he will not be able to answer because he honors his word. And some of you, you are praying one of these two, or you're even praying both of them. The number one prayer that God is not going to answer, if you ask him to do what he has already done. Because how is he going to answer that? He has already done it. He'll be just saying, well, because if I give pastor these and say, these are my glasses, you can have them. And then he comes and says, pastor, can I have your glasses? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And many of us, that's what we're doing. Lord, bless me. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. Why? You are not seeing the blessing because it is in the spirit and you are being carnal. You need to lift up your eyes and begin to see what God has done for you.
Amen.
Lord, I am believing you. Lord, can you please heal me? And the Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed. I believe if God could be confused, you'd be confused. You'd be saying to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, look at this prayer request that has come. I thought we sent Jesus to heal them. And Jesus rose from the dead to show that, yes, they have got the healing now. Was there something wrong with us? It's like you're making it as if to confuse God, because he knows he has done it. He has blessed you. He has freed you. He has delivered you. But you're still coming to God and say, but God, can you please heal me? It's very difficult to get an answer there.
Amen.
The second prayer that God cannot answer is when you ask God to do what he has told you to do. He will not answer that. Because God does not undermine his authority.
Yeah.
When he gives you authority and he gives you responsibility, he gives you the authority that goes with it, you will stand aside until you exercise your authority.
Amen.
And what did God say? Resist the devil and he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
So you resist the devil and the devil will flee.
Yeah.
Fear will come. You resist fear in the name of Jesus, and fear will go.
Amen.
You resist sickness in the name of Jesus, and sickness will go. Poverty, you resist it in the name of Jesus, and it will go. But if you're asking God now to come and do what he has told you to do, he's not going to do it. Because he respects his word. And guess one thing that God is not going to do? He is not going to preach to people. He sent us to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He is not going to preach the gospel for us. We need to go and make disciples. That's why even the angel, when he came to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, the angel could have preached the gospel to Cornelius and his household. But what did he say to Cornelius? He said, go and look for a guy called Peter, and he will come and tell you. He will come and preach to you. Why? Because angels were not given the assignment to preach the gospel. The assignment to preach the gospel was given to us.
Amen.
So if we may pray as much as we like, but guess what? We need to go and preach the gospel.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're going to pray. As we pray, there are mountains in your life, maybe. If you can just come to the keyboard, Victor. There are mountains in your life.
Yes.
But you have the authority.
Yes.
Maybe there were trappings, religious trappings in your prayer life. And now you're beginning to see and say, but Lord, how can I pray? How can I progress from this? We'll be unpacking all that. But for now, the easiest, and in fact the most effective, if you have asked for something, God gave you the first day you asked for it.
Amen.
Because God does not withhold anything. But what do you do between the time you received it in faith and seeing the manifestation? You need to give thanks to God. You need scriptures that will encourage you not to doubt, because the devil will make you doubt. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to worship God. That's why you need to praise God. That's why you need to receive the word that will encourage you and strengthen you and continue to support you as you wait for the manifestation of whatever it is. But the key thing is, do you believe that those things you are saying will be done? If you believe, they are done, and you shall have them in Jesus' name. We are in the season where we are reaping out of our prayers, where we are seeing a manifestation of the results from our prayers.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
As I pray right now, I want to encourage you. Whatever mountain has been in your life, believe God that it is gone. You will not see it again. Whatever you've been waiting for, whether it is a job, whether it's wisdom, whatever it is, receive it in Jesus' name. If it is fear that has been gripping you, if it is ignorance or whatever, you need to believe, you need to resist, and you say, I have it. I am blessed. I am beloved of God. It is mine in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for each one of us here. I thank you, my God, that the first day we cried to you, you heard us. And you sent the answer swiftly in Jesus Christ. And today, we thank you for the revelation that you answered our prayer. As we wait for the physical manifestation, we stand on your word and we believe that it is ours. We resist the devil in his fear, in his terror, in the name of Jesus. Fear, we come against you. I can't do it, we come against you. I'm too small, we come against you in Jesus' name. I'm not educated enough, we come against you in the name of Jesus. I come from a poor background, I've been abused, whatever it is, we come against that in Jesus' name. You made our needs met in Jesus, not because of our goodness, not because of our faithfulness, but because of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, my God, that as I pray right now, answers are manifesting in the name of Jesus. As I pray right now, testimonies are becoming a reality. I thank you, my God, that, Lord, you love each one of us. You care for each one of us, oh God. That's why Jesus Christ came. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made us a winner. Each one of us is a winner. Each one of us is victorious. Each one of us is more than a conqueror. Each one of us will make it to the very end in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my God. And I pray even for a revival in our prayer lives. That, Lord, we don't go around in circles. That we are not caught up in repetition. We are not caught up in long words. But, Lord, we are caught up in the goodness of God. We are caught up in the faithfulness of God. We are caught up in the faith of God. We are caught up in the increase of His goodness in our lives. Because, Lord, you have called us to a better hope. You have called us to a better hope. We thank you, my God. Help us, Lord, to move away from that which is weak, from that which is unprofitable, from that which does not make us perfect, to enter into that hope, to enter into that newness of God, to enter into that abundance, that joy, the joy of the Lord that is unspeakable and full of glory. And I thank you, Father, even for those, Lord, who have been sorrowful.
I rebuke sorrow in Jesus' name. I rebuke pity in Jesus' name. I rebuke unworthiness, self-condemnation. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I speak a release of the joy of the Lord, an exuding of the joy of the Lord, an exuding of the goodness of God. Yes, the joy of the Lord bubbling over, the love of God that we cannot contain, that it just wells up from within us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I say, Spirit of God, oh yes, do what only God can do. Minister in a way that only God can minister, and touch where only God can touch, and bring healing, and bring hope, and bring restoration in the name of Jesus. Yes, you have waited for too long. You have waited for so long. You've been wondering, Lord, where are you? But God is saying, where are you? Come into the grace of God. Come into the finished work at the cross of Calvary. It's not about what you do. Leave all that you are doing and come into the provision of God. Come into the increase of God. Come into the abundance of God. Because I've loved you. I care for you. I've heard your cry. But the Lord is saying, I'm turning your cry into a cry of joy, into a cry of thanksgiving, into a cry of victory, into a cry of abundance, because I'm the God who cares for you. I'm the God who loves you. I'm the God who have called you by name. Child, you are mine. I called you by name. Though you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Though you walk through the floods, you will not be drowned, because I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am the one who called you. Oh, lift up your eyes, my child, says the Lord. Lift up your head, my child, says the Lord. What they thought was going to happen is not going to happen to you again. What happened to you is not going to happen to you again. What happened to your business is not going to happen to your business now. Step out and begin to do it. Believe God. Believe God. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I exalt your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I exalt your holy name. And before I sit, I just want to pray with those. Some of you might be here. You have been praying, Lord, save me. Because the devil has been talking about how sinful you are. And why your answers are not coming, because you are a sinner. But I just want to pray with you. If you don't realize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and even those who have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I just want to encourage you that you make this declaration together with me, to declare that Jesus is Lord. You just say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, that your victory is my victory. I'm coming out of my own works into a better hope, a better covenant, the covenant that makes me perfect. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, and thank you for listening.